Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
It's An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David. As you know, I'm based in a village in the northwest of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I talk about all things to do with Bosnia and Herzegovina, from success stories in the country to places to see to my own, what I think, boring lifestyle. And I also talk about people from Bosnia and Herzegovina who are doing something different. And today I am uber excited to be joined. I hope I pronounce her name right. She'll tell me, I know. Ramanjana Mabita, who is in Harare in Zimbabwe, which is in Africa. The only thing that makes this possible is we are just 1 hour out, as well as time-wise. I found Ramanjana on Instagram. She's a Bosnian girl in Africa. She has the most amazing imagery, the most amazing stories. Do check her out. There'll be a link below this podcast. So first of all, I always ask this same rather boring question, but it's the best way to do it. Who is Ramanjana Mabita?
Well, first of all, thank you, David, for inviting me to your podcast and for such a wonderful introduction. So, Ramanjana, it's very difficult to talk about yourself, right? I'm even a bit nervous. So, I'm a girl from Bosnia. I was born and partly raised in Bosnia. So, of course, the first part of my childhood, I was back in Yugoslavia, right? And then during the war in Bosnia, I was a refugee in Germany. So I spent 6 years of my life in Germany. So basically during my adolescence, I became like a German. I had a German mindset. I was dreaming in German. I was speaking only in German. Then I went back to Bosnia when the war ended. And then I had to restart from zero. I had to rediscover myself as a Bosnian, let's say. So yeah, then the rest of my life, let's say I was born in Kakanj, which is the little town between Zenica and Sarajevo. It's just an industrial town, nothing special to see, but that's where I was born and raised in my childhood. And after that, I went to the capital, to Sarajevo, to study and to work. And this is actually where I spent most of my life while I was in Bosnia. And this is also the place where I met my future husband, who was back then working in Sarajevo. My husband is not from Bosnia. He's a foreigner. He's a mix of DRC, Congo, and Belgium. So, it was somehow my destiny. Africa was somehow my destiny from the beginning when I met him. And so from this moment on, my life went upside down, basically, because of the nature of his job. He's a diplomat, so our lives started being like living in many different countries every few years. So from there on, I started moving. But until that moment, I had a pretty normal life, just a normal Bosnian girl, studying and working. I was working at a bank. I had a nice job. And then, my life changed from one day to another. And I just want to add, I have two kids. Who were born in Belgium, and our base, actually, it's a bit complicated when I talk about where I'm from. So really, like, you know, the Bosnian girl, but because of my husband, we moved to Belgium. Actually, Belgium is our base. So Belgium is the place where we go home, let's say. We don't really go to Bosnia. We go to Belgium, and this is where my kids were born. And that's the permanent base, let's say. But living in Zimbabwe and all these other countries is a diplomatic mission, and this is where we are usually just temporary.
I did, as you know, some research on you from your gorgeously wonderful Instagram channel, and I watched your Instagram reels. I know that today that we have a delay in our internet connection, but you did say that, you know, there are technical issues in Zimbabwe. How is the Zez today?
Well, you'll be surprised, but we have Zessa today. I was surprised myself to see the light on. There is like a little lamp in my kitchen where when I look at this lamp, I know, oh, there is public electricity, actually. When the lamp is off, it's usually off all the time. So actually, We are pretty good off when it comes to Zesha today, but I do have some other issues in the house, which is a normality here. Like, you'll have workers almost every day or weekly in your house when it comes to electricity, water, or stuff like that. It's pretty normal.
How do you think, Ramanyana, how did growing up initially in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and then moving to Germany, how did that shape your perspective on life and the world? Because some people who are born, especially in villages in Bosnia and Herzegovina, it seems to me they don't have that wider perspective of life outside the country. So, you know, how did your upbringing in those initial years shape your view on life and the world?
I know exactly what you're talking about. In Bosnia, there are big differences. For example, I am a good example. I grew up in Kakanj, which is a small town, half an hour from the capital. So the mentality and the way of life is very, very different, just half an hour apart. So I know, for example, if I had never moved to Germany back then, if I had stayed only in Kakanj, in the little town I was born, I would not have been the same person. Just the fact, even just moving to a bigger town, not speaking going to another country, and then Western Europe, it changes completely your perspective on life. I have to say that I am kind of, and especially when you go during your childhood, you know, because I have a chance now to live in different countries, but as an adult, that's not the same. Germany for me will always be something special because I kind of identified myself as a German when I grew up there, but I cannot say the same for when I lived somewhere abroad as an adult, right? You just have some influences, and of course it changes your perspective. But it's very important when if you go somewhere as a child, it shapes you completely. So I have to say I'm very grateful for that experience, not grateful for the fact that I had to be a refugee, but grateful for the experience and for all the things that I could learn through that, because I think it just makes you a better person.
How has living abroad, and we'll focus on Zimbabwe because that's where you are at the moment, how has living, for example, in Zimbabwe changed your understanding of your home country of Bosnia and Herzegovina? And do you stay connected to that Bosnian culture and heritage in any way?
Oh my gosh, I like this question. living in Zimbabwe and before that in Madagascar has actually changed me the most in my life so far, because these two countries have been the most different from anything I knew before. So basically, coming to this kind of countries, sometimes you need to start from zero. It feels like starting from learning basic things. Like, I'm not even speaking about culture. If you go from Bosnia to Germany or Austria, yeah, you will always find some cultural differences and stuff like that. No, here we are talking about fundamental things that you need to learn. For example, I say in Zimbabwe, concretely, you need to learn how to live in your own house, literally. So once you move to Zimbabwe, not only in your own house, but you need to learn how to do shopping here. It's not just going out and, yeah, do shopping. No, it's complicated. It's you need almost like a crash course as a foreigner. And it takes a couple of months. I'm here now 6-7 months in Zimbabwe. And yeah, there are still things that are not very clear to me that I'm still learning, you know? Starting with your own house, this thing of electricity is simply complicated. When we moved here, we moved to first we went to a temporary house before we were able to enter our own house a few months later. And, I was just shocked that I didn't understand, for example, that I wasn't able to use my blow dryer or vacuum cleaner. I wasn't able to use any plug for that. So that was the first shock, because here the houses are very working independently. So they don't really depend on the public system. Like, I'm talking about houses for us expats, of course, not for the entire population, because the differences are big, you know. So I can talk for myself. People have their own sources of how they supply themselves with electricity and water. And that complicates things. Like, for example, you have solar systems here. Most of the houses have solar systems. Most expats have it. But these solar systems don't cover your entire house. So basically, even in my own house, I have like stickers on sockets. For example, which socket I can use for which device. So, you know, and if you make a mistake, you can cause serious damage to your solar system, for example. The same goes with water. You know, you have your own water supply. So we have boreholes here. So when I arrive, I ask, can I drink? Is the water safe to drink? And surprisingly, the answer was yes. I was like, oh, I can drink tap water here. Yeah, it comes from a borehole. I'm like, what is a borehole? I don't know if you know what a borehole is, David. Maybe because you're English speaking, you know. But for me, it was like I never heard before about that. So, basically, borehole is like you have your own water supply from your own garden. And this borehole is like a tube, something that goes hundreds of meters deep in the ground. And you have a pump, and this pump, this is all happening automatically. It brings water to your house anyway. And then you have filters and stuff. But it's, you know, you have to learn all that. So that's your own house only. And then you go out in the world, you go like you want to do shopping, especially in Zimbabwe. And Madagascar was less complicated in that sense, believe me or not. In Zimbabwe, the problem with the currencies is just any foreigner you will meet here, he will say, it's complicated, or I don't understand, or even after 4 years living here, some people still don't get it. Because, you know, we have here US dollars and a local currency, which is called RTGS, or we call it also the Zimbabwe dollar. So basically, every shop can display their price in whichever of these two currencies they want. So you'll go, for example, in big shop. I don't know, let's say, do you still have Konzum in Bosnia? Like, you know, this kind of big stores. So these kind of stores display their price in the local currency, usually in the Zimbabwe dollar. So when you enter a shop in Zimbabwe, the first thing you will notice is like when you enter a bank in Bosnia. So when you enter a bank in Bosnia or in Europe, you see like this display with exchange rates, right? If you want to buy US dollar, if you want to buy yen or whichever currency, there is an exchange rate. Well, that's actually here in Zimbabwe in a normal supermarket. So you enter the supermarket and you will have displayed US dollar, euro, pula, like the currencies from Botswana, currency from South Africa, and the British pound. So that means that you can pay in any of these currencies in that particular store. However, the exchange rate changes daily. What does that mean in reality? That means that if you go to this store and you want to pay in US dollars, right? Because you don't have the Zimbabwean dollar, let's say, then you have to use the exchange rate, which is in that store and on that day. So that product will cost you differently tomorrow and after tomorrow. And, you know, for example, I was doing a small research when I arrived. So I was just checking a price of olive oil, let's say, right? So the olive oil cost like for the official exchange rate that was on that day in that store, it cost $30 for 1 liter, right? And then if you paid the same product in euros, it cost you 50 euros. But then there is something like a black market rate here. So if you pay with that rate, the same oil will cost you $20. And there's a lot of rates in between. I know, David, I mean, it's very complicated. I'm just trying to transmit the feeling of how complicated it is here. And it's also very expensive. Zimbabwe is very, very expensive for us expats. Actually, I would dare to say it is the most expensive country I have lived in.
I would have to say that you really do need to have a sense of humor when you go to buy things, or if you're even vacuuming your house. You must have to have a tremendous sense of humor to keep going. Let's take shopping. When you go shopping, do you cook internationally at home, or have you sort of like leaned a little bit towards Zimbabwean cuisine?
Well, yeah, I would say I cook more internationally, but I do like Zimbabwean food, not all of it. I will be honest. I like their sadza. Sadza is like the main local food here that every Zimbabwean loves. Sadza is like made out of maize or corn, right? And it is kind of, it becomes like a white paste. And then you eat it with your hands. You know, even in Bosnia, there are certain things we eat with our hands. So I don't have a problem with that. So I go sometimes to food courts with local food, order sadza with the stew, and they have some local greens. I think they're called kobo. So basically, you eat all that with your hands, and it's delicious. I have to say, I really love that. And I do love their barbecue, their chicken. It is the best in the world. I mean, they are really masters in barbecue, and how the way they make chicken is just incredible. However, Zimbabweans have some weird food for me, because like they eat caterpillars. Black, thick caterpillars, they're called mopane or maduro. And it's a delicacy here. It's full of protein, and you can buy it in the supermarket together with your fruits and vegetables. And they also eat like termites. Bugs, basically. That's I'm not a big fan of that. On the other hand, yes, I am not that good in Bosnian cuisine. Like, I do know how to cook some Bosnian cuisine. Like, I would love to make sarma and punjane paprike, like stuffed peppers and stuff like that. But I don't really find the ingredients here, like especially not the sour cabbage. That's very complicated. Otherwise, I would make it. But unfortunately, I don't know how to make pita from scratch. And if I could buy the dough that's already made, I would definitely make that. But I gave myself like a task to learn, yeah, how to make pita. I think my kids would be very happy about that. So yeah, you asked me previously about the things that from Bosnia, like if I kept certain things. You know, it's, I mean, I'm already not a typical Bosnian, somebody who has lived so long outside of their country, many different countries, grew up partly somewhere else. I already am not a typical Bosnian, and I do not drink even coffee, and I don't smoke. So that already alone makes me a not typical Bosnian. But I do try to, keep a few traditions at home, like when we celebrate some holidays and stuff like that. I try to, you know, to have some family time and to explain my kids what it is and how we do in Bosnia. Just like, you know, sometimes read some books to my kids in Bosnian and listen to some Bosnian music. I don't do it very often, but from time to time, I do have the need to do that. And my husband knows even a lot of Bosnian music. My kids love it. So yeah, it's definitely nice to keep some of your traditions, but it's challenging, I can say, especially when in your household, your husband is not from the same culture, not from the same country, and your kids were born also somewhere else and you live somewhere else. It's very, very challenging, but I'm doing my best.
I get where you're coming from. It's, as you know, it's not such a great cultural difference in some ways, but Tamara is from Bosnia-Herzegovina, my wife. I'm from the United Kingdom. And yeah, it's, how would you say? It's a Sharani lifestyle. It's a colorful lifestyle. We're coming up to Easter and... obviously, we have two, but she's got into English cooking. So we have like a traditional English Easter, and then we do, you know, the other one later on. You know, your acceptance of culture seems to be so positive and so open. The photographs that you have online show you wearing items, local items of clothing, very, very colorful. So culturally, you must be, or you must feel very open. And when you were talking about music, yeah, I'm a fan of XYU rock, but you like local Zimbabwean music. So a two-pointed part to the question here. How do you find the fashions of Zimbabwe as a lady? And second part of the question is, can you tell me about this Zimbabwean pop star that you've met and whose music you really like?
Yeah, David, you got this absolutely right. I love different cultures, and I mean, I feel rich in a sense that I have been able to meet so many different people and so many different cultures, and that's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I love African fashion. I mean, you know, already my husband is African, and of course, that's not very far from me. I just love it. It's so different, and anybody can actually wear it and appreciate it. You just have to be open. You have to have an open heart, you know, and everybody, I've seen this everywhere in the world. If you are open to people, they will be open to you and they will be welcoming, you know. So that's all it takes. But if you come with an attitude, then people will be also more distant and closed and seem like they don't want to talk to you. I have never had this issue, like most of the time. People are welcoming, and because, you know, I embrace this beauties of all the countries. Yes, in Zimbabwe, after we arrived, I think it was like after 2 weeks or something like that, we were walking in the city center and I saw a store with like African clothes, and I entered right away because I love African clothes. Even in Madagascar, I had some clothes made for me, especially for me, with African designs. So I entered the store, and even the designer herself, she was in the store. She was so beautiful. I cannot even explain you. She looks like a painting. I mean, she's beautiful wearing her own outfits. Her store was so colorful. And yeah, that's like my favorite store here in Zimbabwe for now. But it's also very common in Africa to have your own tailor, like to have a tailor where you just buy these fabrics, and then you have your clothes done. Yes, and regarding your other question, I am very, very lucky and privileged to have been able to meet one of the biggest stars in Zimbabwe. So actually two of them, one of them is Jack Fraser and the other one is Amara Brown. They are really big stars here, like everybody knows them. First I had a chance to be at a concert where they were performing. It was, the energy was so good, so great. And I love African music. Like before I met my husband, I didn't know any African music. Like, and the first time he played Congolese music to me, it didn't ring any bells, like the same way it must have been for him to hear Balkan music the first time. You know, like you don't have any feeling, and I didn't really like it, let's say. But now I love Congolese music. I love Zimbabwean music. I love Malagasy music and other African music. We watch sometimes African channels, and we listen to different like stars from different African countries. Their music is very different from our music. You know, our music is very dramatic and has very heavy lyrics, either that or it's just very just, you know, like what we have in the kafanas, like this kind of folk. Whereas here, the music is very lively, and people just love to dance and move, you know. And, I had a chance at an event to meet then these two stars in person. And they were so humble. They were so friendly. I was able to chat with them, to exchange a few sentences. Unbelievable, really. I am super, super happy about that.
With your online presence, and I'll refer to your Instagram account, you've got a unique way of telling stories to make people get really interested in this case, in Zimbabwe. And going back to when we started at the podcast and I asked you, how was Zeza? I found that one story that you told about the life with electricity in the Zimbabwean context, it was that hooked me to actually binge view all your content. What is the response that you're getting from people regarding your storytelling from Harare and the wider Zimbabwe?
I have to say 99% of the response I receive is totally positive. Rarely I get some negative comments here and there, but I'm sometimes surprised myself, you know, because as a foreigner living in somebody's country, you know, there are issues like in my own country, of course, and people listen to you. And Zimbabweans, I have to say, I compare now Madagascar and Zimbabwe because these are the last two countries I have lived in and both are in Africa. They're very different. Like in Zimbabwe, people are engaging much, much more on social media with me than I had ever had before in Madagascar. People were more passive. But here, people read thoroughly and listen thoroughly to what you're saying, and they would comment on things that sometimes I even cannot believe people heard or paid attention to. So Zimbabweans are very, very engaging and responsive. They write their opinion but mainly positive. You know, it's not easy to talk about a topic that causes a big problem in the country for a lot of people. But you know, that's why I tried to put it in a funny way with some sense of humor, where we can all of us who live in Zimbabwe can relate to that, you know. And I thought that I could explain a couple of words like Zesa, which I will, in such a way that people can understand it, but also take it with some humor.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. I mean, some of my content, I have to say, people from Bosnia-Herzegovina comment on things. And I mean, there was a video that I put on YouTube about visiting my neighbor. And one of the comments I got was, 2 minutes and 7 seconds, did she say bitterschön? Because one of my neighbor's daughters lived in Austria and I speak German. So, you know, just said to me, bitterschön. And I just thought, that must have taken some, wow, they really do pay attention. Yeah, it's that is crazy. I didn't want to put any serious questions into the podcast, but one I would like to fly past you, and that is this. You come from a country that has had for decades a troubled situation, if we can put it that way. Zimbabwe also has had a troubled past and maybe a troubled recent past. Are there any things that you could say that you found that Zimbabwe has found a way to try and make it better, or in a way that Bosnia-Herzegovina might have done something that Zimbabwe could use to get better? Maybe that's a difficult question, but your views would be really great.
So that's a very interesting question. Actually, I reflect very often on that. And one thing I can say for sure is that I actually find a lot of parallels to Bosnia and Zimbabwe. I mean, like, many things are not new to me here. You know, although of course it's challenging to live every day in certain conditions, you know, I grew up in Bosnia. When I came back after the war, we had so many potholes on the road that, you know, you had to drive zigzag. That is the case in Harare City, for example. I'm okay with that. Like, yeah, sometimes it's annoying, but it's not something that I have not lived in my own country, for example. We had reductions of, we called them reductions, power cuts, water cuts. You know, we are very resilient people in Bosnia. And that's, I think, the one word that describes Zimbabwe, resilient. They are incredibly resilient, that they are relaxed about many things that foreigners will get upset about. Also, another parallel to Zimbabwe is that, you know, Zimbabwe had the second highest hyperinflation in the world in 2008. The only higher one was in Hungary. And Yugoslavia comes just after Zimbabwe on the third place in history. And I remember when I was a child, I remember my parents were bringing money in bags home. And, you know, we kids would be just like playing with it. I had these images in front of my head, mind. And Zimbabwe went through that as well, you know. So also cultural, I mean, like, people-wise, Zimbabweans and Bosnians are very similar. The mentality is just incredibly similar. You wouldn't believe, like, people are open, people are friendly, people are spontaneous, like, you know, just coming, popping up at your house without big appointment or being late, you know, all kind of features that Bosnians have. I have to say, I get along very well with Zimbabwean people. Now, if Zimbabwe could learn something from Bosnia, I don't think I'm the right person to say anything, because Bosnia has also to learn a lot. Maybe Bosnia can learn also things from Zimbabwe. But I do hope that this country will move forward because there is so much potential here. I mean, Zimbabwe is one of the has one of the most educated people in Africa, one of the most literate people in Africa. You know, there is so much potential here. The country is so beautiful. You know, I just need to take my car 15 minutes from my house, half an hour. I'm able to do like a game drive, like to see what we call safari, to see wild animals. It is beautiful, well organized. I mean, I'm very surprised. I was very surprised when I came to this country. Things are so organized. Everything, Zimbabweans are very reliable, professional, educated, eloquent. I was expecting something different, but I am very, very delighted actually about those kind of things. Like Bosnia, every country has their own issues, and I hope the best for them.
You've given me so much of your time this morning, of which I am very, very grateful. So this is my final question for you. For me, I came to this country for a reason. I came in 1998 to help the country in those initial years after the war. I was bitten by Bosnia-Herzegovina, and I suppose I never left. And I think this is where I'm going to end my days. I am an unusual Brit in that respect. You've left your home country. You say that you feel like Belgium is your home now, but your enthusiasm for Africa is obviously so huge, and I have to say it's pretty infectious. And because your husband has his African roots, do you ever think that when it comes to finally quitting the 9-to-5, as I'll call it, whether that's the expat lifestyle or whatever, do you ever think in your mind that Africa could be for you permanently?
Yes, David. That's right. I would have never believed that I would be living in Africa, first of all. Taking into account that I didn't even know, to be honest, where on the map Zimbabwe or Madagascar were. So I knew basically nothing about this part of the world. And now I'm living here, and I'm not just living because, you know, we are working here and we will leave and I will forget these places. I honestly left my heart in Madagascar, and I know I'm going to leave my heart in Zimbabwe because I'm here with my heart and I feel these countries, I feel these people, I'm engaged, and I just like it very much here. I really don't exclude the possibility that we stay here or we come back here. Absolutely not. We already have a project in Madagascar, and I'm sure, so, you know, we will be going back there for sure. And also any other country in Africa, you know, South Africa is just next door. South Africa is a beautiful country, and so many other countries where people could just spend their life, actually. And you know what? I have met here in Zimbabwe Bosnians. I have met Serbians. Just yesterday, I was with a Bosnian lady sitting, and she has been living in Zimbabwe 37 years. And I asked her if she likes it here, if she would want to go back. She said, no, she absolutely likes it here. Anybody who I ever ask, people like that, they love it here. They don't intend going back. You know, there are many positive things here. Apart from this first issue that you have as a beginner here, you know, that I'm pointing out now, but once you're over that, once you understand that, the rest is just beautiful. The weather is nice. There is so much space. People are nice. It's so easygoing, you know? And every time I go back to Europe, I'm fine for 2 weeks. But then I start to be like, I want to go back to my Africa every time. After 2 or 3 weeks, that's the limit for me. Like, I like it. I go back to having all this street life, crowds, bars, shopping. Great. But after 3 weeks, I'm done. I really love Africa. And yeah, who knows? Maybe we come back here to stay for good. Yeah.
Ramaniana, thank you so, so much. As I said before, it's been an absolute blast chatting to you to find out what life is like for a Bosnian in Africa or a Bosnian in Zimbabwe. I've certainly learned a lot. I hope that we can keep in touch, and please stay safe. And I wish you all the best with 100% Zedza, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate you giving me the time and the possibility to talk about what life is like in Zimbabwe and in Africa. And I just want to say one last thing to all the people in Bosnia and any other countries who don't know much about Africa, who hear about Africa only from media. Please come to Africa and reassure yourself that Africa is great. And, you know, it's not only what we see in media. And I hope that there will be more people who will be able to see and experience what I have in my life in Africa.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.